This is Dr. Galen McCullough. Now that your surgery has been performed, you have a lot to do and much to think about. Your daily routines have been altered, and you might not feel your best for a few days. However, I urge you to spend the time required to carefully consider what I have prepared for you. I also hope that you will accept what you are about to hear in the spirit in which it was intended. It should provide an element of reassurance as you experience the changes taking place in your body during the next few months. You may recall that on the last page of the patient information or reference book that I gave you prior to your surgery are found the following words: "May God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference." This is a creed, a reality check by which I live my life and practice my art and my profession. The message is as relevant for those things already accomplished as it is for those things yet to come. That's why these words pick up where the book ended. You will find that this CD emphasizes many of the things we talked about and the things you read in the book and materials we gave to you prior to surgery. I consider what you're now about to hear a crucial part of your recovery and urge you to listen to it frequently throughout your healing process. Take the time to listen to all of it as often as you can, especially during the first weeks of your recovery. Patients who have done so tell me it provided a great deal of assurance that they needed after surgery. The performance of your surgery was a crucial step toward the objectives upon which we agreed during your consultation. While you and I were together in the operating room, I carried out what I believed to be the appropriate surgical maneuvers and set conditions in motion designed to help achieve the goals we discussed. Now comes an equally important but less predictable part. We have to wait, watch, and do what we can to assist the regions operated upon to heal as expected and in a timely fashion that won't be as easy as both of us are anxious to see the final result and to get you back into your routine as soon as possible. At this time, I believe it might be helpful to delve a little deeper into the recovery process all patients experience. The more you understand the process, the easier it will be for you to help direct it along the most positive path. We will also visit some of the potential problems and issues which could potentially arise over the next few months, just in case. I have chosen this kind of format because I believe it allows me to communicate a variety of thoughts and do so in the best possible manner. In addition to addressing the kinds of concerns experienced by other patients, I have included documentation on the importance of how one's frame of mind, personal habits, and lifestyle can have a direct effect on the body's ability to heal. You will also find bits of personal philosophies. These thoughts are based upon my own experiences, helping thousands of patients through the same process you are and will be experiencing. The recommendations I have prepared for you are intended to complement scientific themes and to show you how to feel good about your surgery and yourself, because I believe it all works together. Now let's look at the typical recovery process. First and foremost, it is important to recognize that the human body is designed to mend through a systematic and methodical series of events. And we know the mind plays an important part in the process, perhaps more so than was once believed. We also have to appreciate that each body, each person is different, and that it is impossible to accurately predict just how your own healing process will play out and how your response to the process will influence the final result. It is also important to remember that healing takes place over time and in small steps rather than giant leaps, and it almost never seems to go as quickly as anyone wants. The recovery process you are now experiencing is one over which neither doctors, medical staffs, nor patients have total control. Healing is governed by the laws of nature. Our roles, as necessary as they may be, are limited. As your physician, my staff and I will do our best to monitor and to the extent I can to assist you with your recovery. You will also be a key player, as you will soon see. You should know that many patients experience a period of anxiety and/or depression in the postoperative period, especially on the first 2 or 3 days. Surgery, any kind of surgery, is a shock to both the body and the mind. One patient described the first few days after surgery as the ultimate hangover. This is not an unexpected side effect because you were given sedatives, tranquilizers, and anesthetics during surgery. Since then, you've probably taken some additional medications to relieve pain and or to help you sleep. When all these substances have been metabolized and cleared from your body, you should then begin to feel better and stronger. You're also swollen, have some discoloration, and look worse than you did prior to surgery. But these things are a natural part of the process and will pass. While healing is taking place, it is not possible for you, and or anyone else for that matter, to scrutinize the outcome of your operation, anticipating the final result. One reason is that the surgical areas remain swollen for some time after an operation, and swelling produces tightness, lumpiness, and some distortion of the tissues. And you will need to reassure those closest to you that the things they are seeing are a natural part of the process. It is also not uncommon to have more swelling and or bruising on one side of your face than on the other, and sometimes more tightness. Now let's address a few frequently asked questions and common concerns. One of the most commonly asked questions that all patients seem to have is, how much swelling do I have now? It is a difficult question to answer on an absolute basis, but as a rule, about 80% of swelling subsides by 2 weeks. And 90% recedes by 2 months. However, a small amount of swelling can remain for several months, and even small amounts of swelling are capable of distorting and, while present, can adversely affect the appearance. Another frequently asked question is, when can I expect to see some improvement? Although the healing process will be far from complete at this time, within a couple of weeks, most patients can begin to see some improvement over the preoperative appearance. Naturally, some procedures take longer to heal than others. It also stands to reason that multiple procedures cause more swelling and may take longer. Just try to focus on the fact that swelling related to surgery will eventually subside. How about camouflaging the signs of surgery? Most bruises and scars or redness can be concealed within about 7 to 14 days. As is the case with other aspects of recovery, this schedule differs from person to person and from procedure to procedure, so ask about makeup or concealers before using them. Ask about hairstyling and coloring before doing it. It is in your best interest to check with us first and to refer to the book you were given prior to surgery before undertaking anything of question. Patients who have had dermabrasion or chemical peeling need to be extra careful about letting anything come in contact with your new skin. It's delicate and very sensitive. Resurfaced areas require extra care. Keep in mind that anything that smells good or bad can potentially irritate your new skin. More than any other procedure, your absolute compliance with postoperative instructions following chemical peeling and dermabrasion determine how quickly these areas heal. My assistants and staff can and are expected to answer questions for you. If you wish, we can also arrange an appointment with a skincare consultant who can help you camouflage and care for your new delicate skin on a long-term basis, to care for the investment you've made in yourself and keep you looking good for years to come. Physical activities are more specifically addressed in the appropriate sections and in the consultation reference book that you were given prior to surgery. Please refer to them before resuming any physical activities. However, pay close attention to your body. Use good judgment. If something you attempt produces pain, tightness, discomfort, more redness, or swelling, your body is probably sending messages that the regions are not ready to be tested. A good rule to follow is, if it is uncomfortable or if you feel pulling or tightness when you do something, don't do it. The fact that surgically related healing is accompanied by swelling, numbness, tightness, discomfort, lumpiness, discoloration, temporary hair loss, and a variety of other signs and symptoms is a major reason why the end result of any operation cannot be ascertained until several months have passed. This fact can sometimes be disconcerting to a patient who expects immediate gratification from his or her operations. It is important to know this so that you can explain these things to family and friends who often tend to scrutinize your surgery before it is time to do so. Perhaps prompted by media hype and space age advances in medical technology, some people believe that members of the medical profession should be able to cause a patient's body to respond to a prescribed course of treatment. The facts are that the influence my colleagues and I have over the healing process is limited, as they relate to surgery and healing. Quick fixes are more myth than reality. Things of this nature simply take time. As I do with all patients, I must remind you that for at least the first 2 months, the only reasonable evaluation anyone can make is how things are healing. From past experiences, however, I know that regardless of how often patients hear or read this statement, they still want to prematurely judge what has been done. Many simply need to be reassured more frequently that everything is progressing on schedule, and that is my job to do so. I find myself constantly urging patients to accept the following statement: not until about 90% of the swelling has subsided, and not until the skin color returns to a more normal color, can we begin to evaluate the surgical results. The operative words in the preceding statement are "begin to evaluate." It will take some time before the final result is present. My advice to you is this: don't look for trouble. Think positive thoughts. I often tell patients, trouble doesn't slip in through the cracks of a door. It kicks the door down. And remember, if I see anything that looks like it could be a problem, I will point it out to you and take the appropriate measures to correct it. For most procedures, it is not until about 12 months have passed that we are in a position to determine how closely we came to the goals which we discussed beforehand. This will be addressed in greater depth in the section of this CD entitled Interpretations of Success. Now let's examine the science behind the healing process. Doing so will help you better understand some of the things I've already discussed and what is taking place. Healing begins on a microscopic scale almost immediately after surgery, and at least for a while builds in intensity. As swelling increases, so does tightness. Here's how healing tends to work. During the initial 2 or 3 days, swelling and or discoloration increases. It then sits there for a day or so, as though nothing is happening. Then on the 4th or 5th day, it begins to go down, heading toward the lower face, the neck, and onto the chest. As the swelling subsides, so does some of the tightness. Then, unless something interferes with it, an internal feedback mechanism begins to make the appropriate biological adjustments. From within the surgical regions, signals are sent to higher centers of the brain, directing them to change the course of events. When messages indicating the process is progressing satisfactorily are received, swelling and discoloration continue to go away. But these proceedings can also be diverted toward an unfavorable course, and the patient plays an important role in which path the process takes. A number of factors affecting healing tend to determine how quickly and how effectively the process works. This next section deals with a major preventable risk factor. Non-smokers should read it too. Let's address the issue of smoking, nicotine, and other vasoconstrictors. That is, substances that tend to make blood vessels smaller during the healing process rather than allowing them to expand as should be. That some substances are detrimental to healing is a well-documented fact. Nicotine is one of the most common of these substances. When consumed in any form, nicotine is absorbed into the blood, following which it is carried to every part of the body. This is true whether the source of nicotine is derived from tobacco or from smoking cessation aids such as gums or patches. While circulating through the body, nicotine constricts or makes smaller all blood vessels in the circulatory system, including those which flow to and through surgical regions. When they are trying to heal, these regions require more, not less, circulation. It is easy to understand then how drugs and/or products which constrict blood vessels could arrest, delay, or compromise the healing process. This is also true with some cold medications that contain pseudoephedrine. This is why I strongly advise patients not to use nicotine or cold medicines in any form or fashion immediately after surgery. And it's also important to remember that secondhand smoke also contains nicotine and should be avoided as well. Admittedly, complications are not limited to nicotine users. However, infection, excessive scarring, hair loss, bleeding, irritation to membranes, surface irregularities, and difference in both the color and consistency of tissues are some of the unfavorable things which are more likely to occur in patients who consume nicotine and/or blood vessel constricting agents. Caffeine-containing coffee or tea and nasal sprays or other decongestants should also be used very sparingly during the first 3 or 4 weeks after surgery. Although it does not constrict blood vessels, alcohol intake should also be limited or avoided. You should know that all kinds of substances, which are either taken internally or applied externally to healing wounds, can potentially cause problems. But those which are addressed in this section tend to be more difficult for patients who have used them on a regular basis to set aside, and that is reason enough to draw extra attention to them. Now let's talk a little bit about how to plan for the unexpected. Because people are genetically different and or practice different lifestyles, some patients heal faster and better than others. These are major reasons why some operations performed by the same surgeon come very close to the goals which were established, and some may fall short. Fortunately and happily, most operations and recoveries are uncomplicated. When complications do not arise, healing usually progresses on schedule. Patients tend to weather the temporary ups and downs of uncertain times and are generally satisfied with the treatment that they receive. But what about the patients who encounter unexpected complications? A great coach I had the privilege of knowing always reminded the people he led to expect the unexpected and to have a plan should things go awry. So here's the plan. If during the course of your treatment a problem should arise and or the outcome is less desirable than either of us would have preferred, then this will be a time to pull together and in the same direction. First and foremost, we will both have to accept the fact that although we'd prefer it were not so, some happenings are simply beyond the control of either party, the patient, the surgeon, and or my staff. However, in the unlikely event that complications arise, my staff and I will most certainly try to help set the process back on track and as quickly and expeditiously as medically possible. What we will do will naturally be determined by the conditions we face, and we will need your cooperation and understanding. Earlier, I indicated that you are a key player in your recovery. The best thing you can do is to take care of yourself and of your new healing tissues. When considering whether to try something not specifically addressed by the instructions you have been given, consider the delicate nature of tissues on the mend. Ask yourself, would I do the thing I am considering to a premature baby? Would I disturb something which has been freshly painted before the paint is dried? Would I walk or drive on freshly poured concrete? Would I walk on freshly laid tile or stress the roots of newly planted vegetation? Freshly operated tissues too must mature or become firmly rooted before they can be disturbed without consequences. Remember, stretching, bumping, scratching, irritating, pulling against, or any other mistreatment of surgical areas may produce or widen scars. Scars tend to widen or become thickened when stressed. All of the above also encourage additional swelling and cause both the surface and the underlying foundation not to heal properly, something neither of us wants. So don't hesitate to ask for advice or direction. At the clinic, I am blessed with an outstanding supporting staff who are positioned to answer most of your questions. For your benefit, doctors and nurses are on call 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. I urge you to take advantage of their expertise. However, unless emergency arises, please call during reasonable hours. Take only the medications and use only preparations we have recommended, and take them as directed. You should not use or do anything which has not been approved by me or a member of my staff. Do, however, begin to take the vitamins and supplements you were given in your black bag and begin them on the morning following your surgery. Take them as directed until they're all gone. In fact, many patients see a significant improvement in how they feel by taking these supplements and continue to take them for life. More detailed instructions outlining how quickly you can resume most of your activities are contained in the consultation reference book you were asked to study prior to surgery. So please review them and review each section following the surgeries you may have had. You may have received other instructions as well. Refer to them as often as necessary and try not to vary from the prescribed format. As is the case with all ventures, trouble lurks in the shadows, waiting to make an unwelcome appearance and pull us down an unfavorable path. Knowing the potential for problems, I have tried to charter a course which will lead toward a conclusion you'd be happy with, so help me out. Please do not ask for permission to break or bend the rules. If you do, you'll be inviting trouble. Our advice to you is based upon experience and observations of literally tens of thousands of other patients who did and who did not do as instructed. Follow the instructions as surely as you would those of your favorite recipe. Failing to do so could severely jeopardize both the healing process and the final result. Forgive me for presenting this in such a patronizing-like manner, but I have found that precautions generally require special emphasis. You see, I want you to do well. I want you to heal quickly, return to your normal activities, and to get the best possible result that I can help you get. But to do this, I need your help. From time to time, and if we think the current conditions call for it, we might recommend a new or different postoperative course of action for you. Additional medications or treatments can sometimes have a positive effect on the healing process, but some treatments, often thought to be facilitators, can have side effects as well. Any treatment can introduce a whole new series of variables, sometimes positive, sometimes not. In the consultation reference book, I introduced you to the one-step theory of plastic surgery. You might want to review that section as you consider the contents of these following words. The one-step evaluation concept is based upon the premise that each operation stands on its own. The end result of any treatment is also based upon where on the scale we began. Both you and I are going to be anxious to see how closely the end result came to the goals which were established before surgery. And while we wait, it is helpful to remember that the word success means different things to different people. With reference to plastic surgery, it is best not to talk about absolute success or failure, but in terms of degrees of success. The following method of evaluating results is neither new nor unique. For more than 25 years, I have used it to look at the overall effectiveness of the services I've rendered in my medical and surgical practice. The system is based upon a grading scale ranging from 0 to 100%. It's the method by which most of us were graded or ranked by scholastic institutions. In like manner, I try to evaluate an operation by the criteria I might use to grade a test or a term paper. A score of 70 to 79 is generally considered satisfactory or pass. A score of 80 to 89 is considered good. A score of 90 or above is usually considered outstanding. You will recall from your own life's experience that the more difficult the challenge, the more difficult it is to receive high marks. The same is true with surgery. I am very much aware that some graders demand more from test takers than others. I also know that responses to test scores and outcomes vary widely from one individual to another. From my own experience, I remember classmates who celebrated when they received a score of 90%, while others lamented or became visibly upset over the 10% they failed to receive. In some cases, the perfectionist, obsessed lamenters were so disturbed by the few points which they missed, they failed to savor the overwhelming success demonstrated by a high, though less than perfect, mark. And such is often the case when it comes to looking at the end result of medical or surgical treatment. Those of us who have been practicing plastic surgery for any length of time know that perfect scores and perfect operations are rare, even in the best of hands. Truth is, persons expecting perfection are often disappointed. That's a major reason why, prior to consenting to treatment, we always stress that patients go into surgery with realistic expectations. This is so because medicine and surgery are not exact sciences. Therefore, outcomes are often unpredictable. Patients must understand that improvement, not perfection, is the intended goal of treatment, that guarantees or warranties cannot be given by me or any doctor, and that while the overwhelming majority of patients are satisfied, sometimes outcomes simply fall short of expectations. Surgeons and patients alike must realize that with all things created by the hands and minds of human beings, flaws can be found. And it is the nature of some people to look for and find fault more than others. Those who look at the world through fault-focused eyes rarely find satisfaction. They have a higher-than-average misery index. So let's look and remain focused on the brighter side. I have been performing facial plastic surgical procedures for now almost 30 years. During that time, I've had thousands of happy patients. I have observed that the happiest among them tend to be happy people at home, at work, at play. My experience suggests that happy people tend to focus on the good and the positive aspects of all phases of life. They don't seem to let misfortune or setbacks overwhelm them. They dwell on the sunny side. They tend to balance optimism with realism. Scholars who have studied human nature tell us that people generally find those things they seek, that those who seek good generally find good, that those who have negative thoughts find the bad in virtually every situation, that happiness is a process rather than a destination. Down through the years, people affiliated with service-based ventures would confirm the wisdom in words once spoken by Abraham Lincoln, that it may be possible to satisfy all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but impossible to satisfy all the people all the time. Even so, that doesn't stop me from striving for perfection and trying to please every patient, all of them. And while optimism guides me through my daily endeavors, I am also an observer and student of human nature. I guess that causes me to be a realist too. Every day of my life, I'm engaged in the pursuit of excellence. I'm still constantly being reminded that no matter how much I wish they were, many things are simply beyond my control. I know that sometimes more surgery is required to achieve additional improvement, and even then, perfection is rarely achieved. What about additional surgery? Only in rare situations is surgery indicated while tissues are mending from a prior operation. If, however, after the healing process has run its course, and if it is determined that additional treatment is justified, I will candidly discuss the nature, extent, and the cost of such additional treatment with you. Experience suggests that even the best of relationships can be strained over economic matters. Although it is unlikely that it would ever become an issue, the mere chance that a misunderstanding over professional fees could arise is reason enough to include the subject in a candid discussion of this nature. Not everyone understands how compensation for the services rendered by healthcare professionals differ from work which can be guaranteed. It also differs from services taken on a contingency basis. those who are misinformed might think that fees paid for the performance of an operation carry with them a warranty or guarantee of an expected result or outcome. This is an inaccurate assumption. Throughout the world and in virtually every arena, professionals are compensated for the time and effort they spend attempting to affect an outcome, medical professionals included. Nevertheless, I am sensitive to the cost that you have already incurred. You have made an investment in your health and in your appearance, and I want you to feel that it was a good thing to do. I want you to feel that you invested your money wisely. Our policy is to try to keep the expenses associated with any follow-up and or revisional surgery, should it become necessary, within reason. We will also try to do what is fair. Simply stated, I want to maintain a long-term professional relationship with you, and I will always do the best I can to ensure it. As you had a choice with the surgery just completed, and should supplemental surgery be deemed necessary, you'd also be free to choose in which medical facility any additional procedures would be performed. Costs may once again become a factor in your decision. Fortunately, we have operating rooms at the clinic, and that provides you with a choice. In most cases, a less costly choice. You already know that when compared to those billed by most hospitals, charges associated with use of an operating room, anesthesia fees, and cost of medical supplies have traditionally been less at our clinic. And although the clinic's expenses are less than those charged by hospitals, the clinic's cost too must be met each time surgery is performed. These expenses are separate from what the doctor charges for performing an operation and for overseeing the postoperative care. When minor revisions are done, however, operating room fees may also be less. For the overwhelming majority of patients who come through our clinic, the foregoing explanation of the professional fee-for-service system never becomes an issue, and hopefully it won't become an issue for you either. However, as you already know, I try to cover all the bases and leave nothing for doubt. By doing so, the good doctor-patient relationship that is so important to me can last for a very long time. As you also know, when the primary operation is or was done for cosmetic purposes, insurance carriers rarely pay for any medical expenses. Cases of reconstructive or functional natures, however, generally qualify for insurance coverage, but sweeping changes taking place throughout America's healthcare system make it impossible to predict what the future might hold. I suspect that more and more of the cost of both cosmetic and reconstructive surgery and the medical care associated with surgery will be borne by the patient. Unfortunately, these days, doctors have little or no say in how insurance companies and or managed care plans set payment policies or pay claims. Benefits paid on behalf of policyholders are based upon written contracts between one's employer and the healthcare underwriter. Most insurance companies write their own rules, and they change frequently. Our clinic will continue to assist you in determining whether services we would provide in the future could qualify for coverage. Members of our staff will do the necessary paperwork which your plan requires, but you will also have to become part of the system. It is sometimes necessary for you or the primary insured individual in your family to contact the company's representative handling your claim. By now you should know that your health plan underwriter is responsible to you and to your employer, not the provider, the doctor, or the clinic. In like manner, and unless specifically documented, patients, not their insurers, are responsible for the services patients receive from our doctors and our clinic. If all this seems confusing, it is. To me too. A new day has dawned in the healthcare industry. Change is in the air, and no one knows what the future will bring. Even more reason why doctors and patients need to pull together and in the same direction. The bottom line is this: no matter what, I want you to always keep in mind that I'm on your side. My goal is the same as yours. Both you and I want you to obtain the best possible result, to look as good as possible, to do as well as possible, to feel as well as possible, and as quickly as humanly possible. On several occasions, I've stressed that you play an important role in bringing the process to a happy conclusion. Best thing you can do is to stay focused on the good and the positive side of this venture, to do what you can do, and to follow as precisely as possible the instructions we ask you to follow. At the beginning of this dissertation, I spoke of how a person's frame of mind plays an important role in the recovery process. My own observations confirm the teachings of a 19th century scholar, Dr. James Allen, who wrote, "The body is a delicate and plastic instrument which responds readily to the thoughts by which it is impressed." Dr. Allen believed that strong, pure, happy thoughts build up the body in vigor and grace, that anxiety and negativity quickly demoralize the human body and lay it open to the entrance of disease. He further concluded that stress and/or negative thoughts will shatter one's system. Naturally, while the body is trying to heal, it is important to guard against anything that would introduce negative thoughts. Dr. Allen's philosophy was based upon years of clinical observation. In another passage, he wrote, "I know a woman of 96 who has the bright, innocent face of a girl. I also know a man well under middle age whose face is drawn into inharmonious contours. The first, the one of the elderly lady, is the result of a sweet and sunny disposition. The other, that of the gentleman, is the outcome of discontent." It certainly seems that how we look at things has a direct and physical effect upon how they look to us and to others. Dr. Allen's observations also help explain why some people age more rapidly than others, why some people see new sags, bulges, and wrinkles in shorter times after they've had plastic surgery, and why some require more frequent tuck-ups to help maintain an appearance of youth. The body is truly the servant of the mind. We become what we think. And while plastic surgery can help the outward appearance, inner beauty should never be underestimated. So while you're swollen and discolored from surgery, try to focus on the inner beauty and the better times that shall come. What about slowing down the aging process? Medical science has not yet discovered how to slow down the aging process, but we know how things like stress, worry, anger, grief, illness, mistreatment, and unhealthy lifestyles certainly tend to speed it up. That's why we're developing an array of age-arresting and rejuvenation programs at the McCullough Institute. If you're interested in learning more about it, we'll be happy to discuss them with you. The evidence is now clear. There are things that we can do to slow the aging process and to help us live longer and happier lives. Certain vitamins and supplements coupled with positive lifestyle changes can make a difference. So I urge you to take care of yourself, to adopt and maintain attitudes and a lifestyle favorable to health and harmony. By doing so, you can help protect the investment you've made in yourself and in turn bring about happiness to those around you as well. Hanging on the wall in each postoperative treatment room, you will find an abbreviated directory of patient reminders. They're placed there for everyone to see and to heed. The list includes the following. Don't try to evaluate the results of surgery too soon. Healing times vary from one person to the other. Swelling and bruising goes away, so be patient. Scars tend to improve with time. Thick scars can generally be improved with cortisone treatments, if necessary. Tightness indicates swelling. Do not pull against it. Saggy, baggy tissues are a result of continued aging. Loose skin seen after surgery was not left behind at the time of surgery. Noses tend to improve with time, both internally and externally. Protect peeled and dermabraded and/or laser-treated skin as you would a brand new baby skin. The list of reminders are there to let you know that your concerns are similar to those of others who have passed through these rooms during the recovery process. And I felt that further elaboration on some of these points might be helpful. Now, as we approach the end of this CD, I want to leave you with some final thoughts. The content of this CD has taken years to compile. It contains not only my thoughts, but feedback from patients just like yourself. I have shared this collection of thoughts with you because I want you to know more about how I view the times you are experiencing. I also want you to feel good about your decision to have surgery, and I want you to feel good that you asked me to perform it, and to feel that your positive sentiments toward your surgical experience far outweigh any negative ones which might creep in. As a facial plastic surgeon, the techniques I recommend and perform for each patient are designed to balance and enhance the face he or she openly displays to the world to give you a natural or unoperated result. However, I believe my duty goes beyond the physical plane. I also view the fields of aesthetic medicine and surgery as an art form capable of lifting the human spirit as well. I'd like to think that I and my staff serve as conduits or as bridge builders who connect each patient's inner beauty with the best external appearance possible. And while I know that my abilities to do so are limited, I and my staff strive to help our patients feel better about themselves for years to come. When one feels good about oneself, others take note. The person who wears a smile and exhibits a pleasing disposition can help others see the world from an improved position, too. You see, we're all connected by things we don't totally understand. And while we might not totally understand them, the connection is, however, undeniable. We are part of everything and everybody we've ever encountered. Realizing that this is true, my staff and I want your experience with us to be as positive as humanly possible. You will recall that throughout this communique, I have referred to this experience as a process of mind and body. I have also called it a partnership on both the physical and spiritual plane. I have spoken about all of us using our resources we have available toward a singular and common objective. It is my sincere hope that one day in the not-too-distant future, you can look into a mirror and see that the person smiling back at you is the person you are inside, a younger, healthier, more self-confident you, a unique and special person in which the body and the spirit become one. When this event takes place, at that very moment, a ripple effect will follow. Your shining example will encourage others to become the best they can be too. Physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. Then the world in which we all live will be a better place, and both you and I can feel good that in some small way, not an insignificant way, we have been a part of making it so, and our Creator will smile. I hope that you will return to the clinic for scheduled postoperative checkups so that we can monitor your healing process. And when the process has run its course, I also want to be able to discuss the final results with you and to look after you for years to come to further strengthen the connection between this doctor and you, my patient. As the years pass, you should keep in mind that plastic surgery is part of a generalized and continuing maintenance process, one designed to counter the ever-mounting signs of aging and to keep you looking as well as you feel, to buoy the human spirit. So if as the years pass you should be interested in having other plastic surgery, I hope that you will return to our clinic. I would be honored if once again you requested that I be your surgeon. After you've had time to reflect upon the contents of this CD, I would like for you to listen to it again. As a matter of fact, during the first 2 weeks after surgery, you should listen to it at least every other day. You might also want to share it with your spouse or friend who is providing support and care during your healing process. By doing so, perhaps they too will better understand the process that you are experiencing. I would also urge you to review the CD prior to your 1 week and 2 week office visits. Then file it in your consultation reference book and refer to it in the sections in the consultation reference book relative to your treatment whenever you have questions about your recovery and or related issues, or whenever you might need a little boost or reassurance. If you're interested in knowing more about my philosophy of life, ask for your free copy of one of my most recent books entitled Let Us Make Man. I will be happy to provide a copy for you during one of your postoperative visits. And no matter what, always direct your body to serve your mind. Think good thoughts, be well, and live life as it was intended to be lived. This is Dr. Galen McCullough, thanking you for the confidence that you have demonstrated in my staff and me.